Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for just last night. God, we have so much to be thankful for. We know that you are with us and that you are so kind and gracious to us. God, you have revealed to us the mystery of the kingdom. And God, we are so thankful that we get to live such meaningful lives, and God, that you have such a wonderful plan for us. And I just pray, God, that your word would be effective today. God, that you would nourish us and renew us and just give us fresh hope, God, for the promise that lies ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to talk about this war of Thanksgiving. We're on this, the series on spiritual war, and it's Thanksgiving. And I think, you know, giving thanks is not natural. I mean, there are some things that are natural, you know, when you know, somebody gives you stuff, you know, and you go, oh, thanks, man. You know, like, but being thankful in all circumstances is not natural. I mean, so there are just a lot of things that happens, you know, in our lives. I think as we heard last night, you know, and just in the testimonies of people, just there's a lot, you know, that happens. And it's just, it's one of these things. It's like, man, God is the perfecter of our faith. That means like God has this like plan, and he's very ambitious because he's God. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if we're here because there's a reason to be here. I mean, if you think about it, right? I mean, God could zap us. You know, I mean, if salvation was really just about getting to heaven, I mean, it doesn't even make sense that we're here, you know, because God would then want you to be happy, you know, and he promises that, you know, heaven is like the happiest place. So, I mean, why wouldn't he just zap you into heaven, right? So there's got to be like a purpose and a reason. And he states that very explicitly. I mean, God has a plan and a purpose for you being here. It isn't to earn your salvation, because he's already taken care of that. But God's, you know, doing a work in your life to become more like him, you know? I mean, where are you going to learn how to be patient in heaven? Learn how to forgive in heaven, you know? I mean, there are things here in our ability to forgive. And, you know, I mean, these are God qualities. And the thing about it is, you cannot learn these qualities in heaven. And you cannot learn those qualities if you think about it, like, how do you learn patience? I mean, you have to be in those situations. How do you learn to, you know, not grumble? And how do you learn to be content? And how do you learn to be truly happy? Like, God isn't happy just because everything is perfect. God is happy no matter what the circumstance. That's a God quality. And God knows things that are just, I mean, those are things that God is like ambitious for us to learn. That's what it means to be a disciple. But here's the thing. We just don't think that that's that important. Like the things that we want, the agenda that we have, just feels more important. Right? And so when it naturally feels more desirable, then we have to pause and we have to kind of think and wonder, right? Because what we're talking about when we talk about Thanksgiving isn't always natural. Matter of fact, it's very rarely. Even when you say thanks, you know, it's like if you're like trying to teach your kids about being thankful, what do you say? Okay, Jane, what do you say now? You know, when somebody gives a, you know, hey, here's a piece of candy. You go, what do you say, Jane? And you're like, oh, thank you. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, we're not teaching people to be fake, right? We're teaching people, right, to believe, to express, right, this gratitude, to express it. It's very theological. It's really saying, wow, that's good. What you have given me is very good for me. It's an expression of goodness. And so So we're going to pick up Philippians 4, 6 through 7. We're just going to paint the picture of what it means to be thankful. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. Now, there's the fight word, right? Like, it will literally just, that's your defense. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you, when he says, do not be anxious, like, you ever not been able to sleep because you're worrying? You ever go like, okay, just stop being anxious. Hey, I never thought about that. I'll just stop being anxious, right? Is that like really that easy? This is not easy. But what does it mean to be anxious? Anxious. Okay, let me just pronounce it more properly, I think. All right? So to be anxious is a result of a fallen flesh. So here's why we're anxious. We're anxious because the fallen nature can never hope in God, nor can it ever hope to get God's help. Hear what I'm saying? Your natural self could never anticipate nor expect God's help. That's a natural state. So when you think about the future, it's all up to you. Right? That's why you worry. That's why it's so natural to worry. Because if you're being fleshly, it is very natural to worry because your flesh can never have faith. It just knows what it can do, right? It tries, and it has an independent spirit, obviously, and it's self-sufficient. And so it can never really expect or anticipate God's help. So when, and here's the thing. So when it says, do not be anxious, it isn't telling the flesh to stop. The flesh can't stop. If it's in a circumstance of uncertainty, that's why when you wake up, the flesh immediately spins to being anxious. When you're going to sleep, you can't shut it off. Why? Because just that's what the flesh does. It's just natural. So when it says do not be anxious, it's not talking to the flesh. It's talking to you. It's talking to your true self with a new heart, a new nature, right? A new mind. And that nature can hope in God. And it can expect God's help. So then what do you say? Well, you say, flesh, you're wrong. God is my helper. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my all in all. And when he's given me Christ, he's given me everything. Right? And if he's given me his son, would he not give us all good things? These are the promises of God. This is the reality. So God is very helpful. But the flesh will never understand it. It cannot understand it. So it is doomed, okay, for the rest of its life to constantly live in fear of uncertainty. And that's why from the moment you wake up, Jesus will say, he says it all the time, do not be afraid. Why? Because God knows that uncertainty scares, right? The living Jesus, okay? Just excuse the pun, right? Out of him. And so what we're saying is we have a hope. We have now this hope, which is really the opposite of anxiety. It doesn't have any real hope. It doesn't even go like, oh, maybe God will help us. Can't even say that. That's why it's like looking for all these different courses of action. If I do this, and oh, how about if I say that? And oh, why did I say that? Oh, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. And oh, well, man, does that person like me? Oh, my goodness. Like, you know, it's like you're constantly spinning and spinning and spinning. You can't sleep. And from the moment you wake up, and it wakes you up sometimes with worry. So what does God give us to combat this despair, if you think about what anxiousness is? It's like this hopelessness, because it's like, it's all up to you. It's all on you, buddy. And if you buy into that, if you buy into it, if you go, man, yeah, it's up to me. God's not going to help me. Now, of course, we're not conscious of that. We don't think, hey, God's not going to help me with this. We just go with it. We don't even, you know what I'm saying? If you're prone to anxiety, you know what that means? You don't fight. You don't fight for the truth. You have a hope, an eternal hope, a promised hope. Okay? And God says, I gave you my son. Wouldn't I give you all good things? You don't think I'm going to help you? You think I just left you on earth? I mean, it doesn't even make sense, right? You don't think I'm going to be perfecting your faith? You don't think I'm going somewhere with this? I'm God. Of course I'm going somewhere with this. You know? It's almost like, well, I don't believe you. Yeah, it's up to me now to, you know, try to figure all this out. When I want this and I want that, and so, you know, I better go and get it. It says, but in everything, this is how we combat it, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You know what thanksgiving is? It says, let your request be made known to God. We talk to God, and you know what we say? God, you know where you're going with this. You're the perfecter of our faith, right? Thanksgiving, giving thanks, is a theological acknowledgement, okay, that God knows what he's doing and that he's going somewhere with this. That's like saying, God, I concur with you that this is the best. That's what thanksgiving is. Undeserved. This is such goodness. Now, is it going to feel natural? Does your flesh get that? It doesn't get that. It'll never get that. That's why you'll never naturally go, oh God, you know, I'm in pain and suffering, and ooh, are you serious? You want me to do that? You want me to commit my life to something? A life of discipleship and obedience? Oh my goodness. Like, it'll never go, God, thank you for just such difficulties. Well, you're commanding me to serve and be hospitable and all this other. God, thank you, because you know, I was like, I think there was a joke I heard. It was like, you know, I think it was like having four kids, but yeah, I mean, most of us have three kids. Having like a third kid is like, it's like drowning, right? And then somebody hands you a baby, you know, and it's like, oh, that's like, you know, like you have two kids and then you get a third one. And I was like hearing Aaron and Jane talk about that, and I just thought about that joke, and I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. Anyway, but that's exactly, we're saying, God, like, it doesn't naturally feel like a blessing. Like God knows what he's doing. When we pray, when we ask God for something, all right, we're saying, God, this is good. God, like, I acknowledge that these situations, that you know what you're doing. And then what happens? When we say, God, I'm going to now cooperate with what you're doing and participate, okay, in the will of God, and you agree with God, and then what does God say? Now, that might mean, God, I don't want to go and apologize. I don't want to go and forgive, right? I don't want to, you know, rearrange my schedules. You know? It's like, I don't want to do what I don't want to do. But if you agree with God, and I talked to you about this, you know, like I used to leave work, you know, and for many of you who work with a lot of, you know, when you work with fallen people, it's difficult. And so, and you say some things that you shouldn't have said, and you people hurt you in ways that requires your forgiveness, and just all kinds of dynamics are going on. And you leave work and you're just feeling kind of yucky. And when you feel yucky, you get restless. It's like your mind is searching. Okay, that's called anxiety, by the way. It's like your brain is thinking about like trying to take care of that restlessness. Now, what do we do when we eventually get home? We'll just turn on Netflix, right? And just kind of like, oh, take me away, Netflix, right? And not even think about it. Or some other means. But if we just say, God, like these are not like random things. God, I giving thanks is like saying, God, I'm gonna participate in whatever you're doing, because I know this is good for me. And then you think about all the true things, right, that occurred. And you just say, God, this is the truth. Okay, wow, you're saying this about today. You're saying this. And you begin to just agree with God on true things. And then you're fighting for the truth. What you're really fighting for is true hope. And then you know what happens? And here's the promise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, you're being attacked, right? And the arrows are flying. The flesh is just ramping up. The enemy is embarked right there. And all of a sudden, tsh, 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 right? Shield begin erecting as you begin to now, right? Hope in God and giving thanks. All right, hope to fight anxiety. All right, why is this important? Because faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So, like, knowing your hope is really, really important. Like, keeping that in focus, the promises of God, it's huge. Now, I got a little story, right? In the Army, probably, you know, since I can remember, I never really knew why I was good at this. I was always good at land navigation. It was kind of odd and uncanny, right? And I kind of thought about this a little bit, okay, why I'm so good at it. There's day land navigation, and then there's night land navigation. And so what land navigation is, they give you a map and a compass and say, okay, this is where you're at, and that's where you need to be. And it's usually like this pole with a flag on it, right? And then you have to go and find the flag, right? Now, the terrain is full of woods and hills and, you know, mountains and, you know, and you got to navigate, right, to get to, you know, where that point is. Sometimes it's close. Sometimes it's very far. Now, if it's very far, right, then any mistake, right, because you, what they call shoot your azimuth, which is your heading. So if it's like 267 degrees, you know, 2 kilometers or whatever, and, you know, and it's right there. That's where the flag is. Now you got to get to it. So you like look on the map and you calculate the distance and you do your steps, right? And then you measure how far you can go in 100, how many steps you take in, you know, I don't know, 10 meters, right? And you extrapolate that and go, okay, that's like 3,000 steps in this direction. It never, like, the one thing I realized, I think, early on, and I think that separated me from a lot of the other folks that were doing land navigation, and that is, when you encounter these obstacles, there's like these thorny bushes, and, you know, like there's muddy water. And so people, you have to kind of like calculate, oh, I'm going to get around this. Now, you have to like focus on that, whatever that tree is, you know, that you like, you know, because you can't just say, I'm going to go in this direction. Because if you go in this direction, right, you're going to, you have to fix your eyes on something that's near, okay? And then you then go to that, and then you shoot it again and go to that, and you go to that. That's how it works. That's what they recommend. But the thing that differentiated me is when I shoot my azimuth, you know, and I pick a tree or pick something that I'm going to, come hell or high water, I'm going through to get to that thing. There's no going around that thing for me. Like if there's thorny bushes and, you know, I'm like hacking my way right through it. Okay? If it's like waist full of water, I'm going right through it. I'm not good at getting around it. You know? And I think I've tried, but then you have to count how many steps and the angle that you're going around. And sometimes you'll be like obstructed view of that tree that you just, and then you lose sight of that tree. And so I just go straight through. Rarely did I ever have to not go straight through. That the terrain was so bad that I just couldn't. Like it was like a river or something. I would just go straight through. Now, there are other folks that try to like, oh, that's a difficult terrain. I'm just getting around it. And then they would lose sight of their tree or they would lose, whatever happens. Now, the farther you have to go, if you're off by a little bit or you're off in the distance, you're like, you look around. There ain't no flag with no, you know, there's no pole with the flag. That's just the way it is. And so, now, there are times in your land navigation, as you're walking, you're like thinking, I think I'm lost, right? And you don't trust that you're on the right path anymore. Because you think, well, I come my 1,000 steps and I don't see no flag nowhere, right? And there were no flags on my, so the only thing is I gotta keep heading in that exact direction, all right, until I find the flag. And sure enough, almost all the time, I always count my steps short and I always find my flag. And it's awkward though, when, because you almost feel like at that moment, you gotta like start scattering to go look for that flag, right? But you just gotta keep that heading. And that's kind of, you know, faith is the assurance, like this is my cardinal heading, I'm gonna run through this bush. It's like, this is my path. And that's called faith. Trusting, right, in your compass, right? Trusting in your map. And you'll start doubting whether you're on that right path. Now, that is critical when you start getting anxiety. When you begin to question, like, is God going to help me? Is God really for real? Like, why didn't he just take me to heaven? And Peter says this. He says, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. The thing is, when we came to be believers, he gave us a hope. So remember what we talked about, a living hope. The flesh cannot hope. When you came to be born again, right? This new identity, that identity, that new self can hope. That's where I get that. Okay? In this, you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what? You know what it's saying? Is that you're going to be so glad that you continued on that heading, because you're going to find that flag. You're going to find that pole. Right? You're going to be on that path. You're on that path. And you know what it says? It says it's that the tested genuineness of your faith, it's like more precious. It's like so much more valuable than at the time gold was like the most precious. Because like even gold, you know, what scripture is saying, what Peter is saying is like, even that perishes. You know, but how do you refine gold? Through fire. But what Peter is saying is you're going to be so glad that you've been purified, right? And that your faith is so genuine. You're going to be so glad. And it's going to result in what? Permanent thanksgiving. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, All right. So here's what Paul is praying for the Romans. He's saying, like, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. When? In believing. And we'll talk about what that, you know, in believing is on the path of obedience. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So what God's going to do, remember that, right? The peace that surpasses all understanding. The God of hope gives you hope, right? By giving you peace, right? In restless, difficult situations. That's how God gives you hope. That's what it's saying. Gives you joy and peace. So God is saying that if you stay the course, if you maintain a posture that God knows what he's doing when he's commanding you to do things that feel unnatural, like to renounce your life and things like that. Because he's saying what? Well, this is what John says. He says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Keeping his commandments is very difficult. Like, love one another as Jesus has loved you. I mean, these are not easy things. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. If you think about it, I mean, even the Great Commission, go and make disciples and teach them to obey all that I have commanded. I mean, it's a sign of faith. Right? The reason why we pray, think about this. The reason why we pray, the reason we have to be thankful in all circumstances is because we're endeavoring to obey. Right? When we endeavor to obey, because we are saying, when we attempt to obey, we're saying, God, we agree with you. It's a waste of time to be here on earth unless it's for the purpose that you brought it. It's a waste of time. Stop trying to carve out earthly happiness, okay? Separate from complete surrender and obedience to God. God's not helping you with that. If you're shooting a different azimuth, God's not helping you with that. God is helping you when you're on the path of obedience. God then is going to help you. God would be unloving if he helped you to fulfill a dream that isn't the best dream, because God only knows how to do what is best. It is suboptimal to start chasing some American dream, okay, as if somehow you know what is best for yourself. That is called a false hope. The path of obedience. The path of, like, whatever you have to lay on the table, it's the path of obedience. God is saying, I promise you, I will give you joy and peace. And you know what? And then the more you, like, stay on that path of obedience, right? Your heart will what? By the power of the Holy, abound in hope. Oh, this is good. Oh, yeah. You're going to get stronger. You're going to go, oh, yeah, that person just betrayed me. I got him, though. You know, I got him. I'll just forgive him. Like, you'll be good with that. Like, there's space now. You're not, like, knee-jerking everything, right? Somebody said this. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm offended. You know, like, no. Like, hey, what's going on here, right? Like, there's space now between your reaction. Because you're fighting not against them. Let's just be honest. Like, that's exactly what the spiritual battle is. You're fighting principalities. Powers and principalities. It's a spiritual war. You're going to think that it's your mom or your wife or your husband or your friend. It isn't. All right, so how do we fight back against grumbling and dispute? Right? All right, we read that. All right, here's Philippians 2:12. Let's take a look at this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Now, obedience to the word of God is working out your salvation. So that means I'm in hot pursuit to obey God's commandment, right? To confess my sins to one another, to walk in the light, to be hospitable, to serve one another, to use my gifts, to be good stewards of all that God has given me. I'm in like the path of obedience. Like if you are a Christian, you're going to be able to do that. You know why you're going to be able to do that? If you're a believer, because God is going to help you. And he's going to fill you with joy and peace in doing it. See, that's the thing. Well, I don't want to do that. That's going to be painful and awkward and not pleasant. What Paul is saying here is, well, that's how you know you're a Christian. That's how you work out your salvation, if you begin to endeavor in it. Otherwise, how do you know? How do you know if you don't know how to get the power of God? And he says, with fear and trembling. You know what that means? That means you don't look at situations the same as other people. When unpleasant things happen to you, when difficult people come into your life, other people were like, oh, forget them. What the heck is this? You're like, whoa. Stop, flesh. Like, let me see. Like, you're like, you have deference and some respect for the situations that God brings into your life. Because it's never what you think it is. Right? And so you go like, oh. Because your path of obedience includes forgiveness and love and, you know, all kinds of things. So you don't just like, just whiplash, right? Complaint, and you don't whiplash that. And that's exactly what he says. For it is God who works in you. God is working. You don't just whiplash, right? Complaint and grumbling and, right? As if God is not working here. God is, that's a sign. When you see a sign, God is at work, right? What happens in the highway, right? Men at work, what do? You slow down a little bit, right? Maybe there's a camera, right? They're just like, ooh, better be careful, right? They're workers. Saying God is at work, right? So you begin to go, you give it some respect. You give your situation some respect. Don't be whiplashing, complaint, and grumbling. Says God is at work both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He's giving you, right? He's fanning your desire. That's what it's saying. It says God is at work to both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That means God is giving you strength. He's giving you the desire to do it, continue to obey. That's God doing stuff. But what does Paul say? What not to do? He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Another way of saying quarreling. That you may be blameless. Now that word, actually, is a word that says blamerless. Not a blamer. Okay, that's kind of the original meaning. It means now without fault. But the way that, like if you weren't a complainer, like it meant that a complainer of one's fate. So a blameless person is one who gives deference and respect to his own circumstances. Like we don't go, God didn't make me prettier or handsomer or, you know, smarter or, you know, whatever. You're going with what God did because you're like, there's no way to improve on what God did for my life. And innocent, that word means not mixed, okay? Wholehearted, right? So when you grumble and complain, you stop. It's like sailing a boat all of a sudden now, right? You're sailing and all of a sudden, like, you know, like you hit some storm and then, and you grumble and the wind stops blowing. The wind stops blowing. What is Paul saying? Is that if you obey with fear and trembling, right? And if we do that, God is helping you. He's going to help you both to will and to work. But if you grumble, he's not going to help you. Here's the thing. There's never, here, I'm going to say this again. There's never a circumstance where you could legitimately ever complain or grumble. Wow. Now, why do I say that? Because that's just what the Bible says. It says, do all things without grumbling. It means all. It means never, ever, ever complain or grumble. And if you find that you're not being helped by God, I can tell you, you're a secret grumbler. You're a secret complainer. You probably hold grudges. You're probably a little bitter in some way. God is saying, no, no, no. You're calling him unfaithful. You're saying that he didn't give you true, genuine hope. You're saying what he did wasn't good enough. That he's holding back on you. God, look, God gave you his son. Would he not give you all good things? What do you say to that? Seriously. There's never, ever, ever a situation. Why? Because you rob, first of all, yourself of the joy and the peace that is required to abound in hope. That's why Paul says, may the God of hope give you joy and peace so that you may abound by the power of the Holy Spirit in hope. You can't have faith without hope. Because faith is the assurance of hope. This is what God says. Why is this sense of blamelessness and innocence so important? Because you know why? Matthew 5:8 in the Sermon on the Mount, you know what Jesus says? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they what? Shall see God. Do you have a tough time coming into God's presence? You haven't really encountered him in a while? You're probably double-hearted, double-minded, probably a complainer and a blamer, probably, you know, holding grudges secretly. Maybe it's not conscious. What God is saying is like, hey, let's just face it. God is God and he knows what he's doing. He's never not out for your best interest. Just because you don't believe that doesn't mean he's not doing that. Now, what God is saying is don't rob yourself of the immense joy and peace that is available to you if you would just come with a heart that says, God, thank you. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. There's the grumbling. There's the disputing and quarreling. You know what quarreling means? You know, sometimes we're saying like, well, like, God didn't mean to send this person into my life. No, he did, actually. And, you know, you don't have to try to fantasize that it's a different crowd or a different set of people. God sends everybody perfectly as he sees fit for your optimum good. Look, God has he's perfecting you. And because he's perfecting you, he's putting you in refiner's fire, which means it's going to be unpleasant. And just because it's unpleasant doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It actually means that God loves you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the what? Kingdom of heaven. It's just upside down. It's upside down. If these things are going on in your life, praise God. Because Jesus says, blessed are those who are like that. What Jesus doesn't say, blessed are the people who are fat and comfortable. Like, who don't really think about much. I'm good. Don't need that. Don't, you know. I just got my life just right, just in a place where everything's good to go. Oh, so you're good to go. You don't need God's help. Well, you're not blessed. 1 Peter 4:8-11 says this, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Then he begins to expound. Show hospitality to one another without what? Grumbling. If you're going to do something for somebody, don't ever, ever, ever grumble. it's better not to do it than to grumble about it. And if you're going to do it because you feel a sense of duty, then it is your duty and responsibility to do it without grumbling. Or don't do it at all. You think that God is neutral? If you just read the Old Testament, man, God is harsh. The Israelites grumbling in the wilderness? Grumbling says, you're not God and you're not for me. And your son and the cross was worthless. That's what grumbling says. That's why this is so serious. If you believe in God and you believe that the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ was necessary, you will never grumble. Because you're saying you don't know what you're doing, God. And who is this Jesus anyway? As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Do you want to serve in the strength that God supplies? Don't grumble. Don't complain. Be thankful. Okay. Of course it's not natural. Of course it's theological. You are thankful because you believe you need to be thankful. You're not thankful because you feel like it. The flesh will never feel like it. You'll only be thankful afterwards. Did you naturally want to go up last night and give the testimony of Thanksgiving last night? No? But were you glad that you did? Probably most of you did. You're never glad in doing it or before you do it. You're only glad afterwards. That's the mystery. Of course you feel like grumbling. It's natural. It's only theological that you should not grumble, because you believe you should not grumble, because you believe in the high cost of this life. What a privilege. You know why? It costs God less to save you and send you straight to heaven. To save you and leave you on earth, you're going to sin more. You're going to sin against the light definitely more. And then somebody has to pay the price for that. Well, he did. That's how important this life is. And that's why it's important, right, to begin to get our minds wrapped around this. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God." It's literally talking to yourself. It's talking to the anxious, fearful flesh that's trying to be all self-sufficient, and it's saying, what's going on with you, man? Hope in God. "For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore," what? "I remember you." What it's saying is, I remember your promises. I remember how good you are. I remember that you gave me your son. I remember that you would give me all good things, that you're not holding back. That's what I remember. And that's why Jesus is saying, he's like, hey, then pray like this. God's afoot. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And what? Your will be done. God, bring it. Bring it. You, the perfecter of our faith, bring the fire. God, do your best, because that's all you know how to do. And I, your willing participant and grateful servant, God, please bring it. That's what you're praying. But that's what Jesus prayed. Not as I will, but thy will be done. So let's fight with thanksgiving in all circumstances. Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And it says, and here's the war word, the battle word, being watchful. in it with what? Thanksgiving. We don't let our prayers like devolve into some sort of like complaint session. We contain it. We pray like the psalmist. You know, God, like, you know, like, whoa, my enemies encamp me. You know, whoa, this is going on. Right? But my hope is in you. That's what we say. We let him know that, God, I know that you know what you're doing, but you know how I'm suffering. And you know that, and I know that you know that I'm suffering, that it's really hard right now. Man, God loves it when you come to him with that, with all your troubles. And you cast it on him and said, God, you also know that I need your joy and I need your peace. I need your help. You know what, God? God is faithful. He's so kind to us. And he will provide that. Ephesians 5:19 says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. It says what? Giving thanks. When? Always. And for everything. To God. The Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just like grumbling, isn't it? Never grumble. Not a single inch of room there. Because as soon as we go there, we start complaining and grumbling, we stop the wind. We're never going to serve in the strength. You'll never know the joy of obedience if you grumble. Never. I don't know a single person that's ever been strengthened by the Lord in the midst of complaining. You're shutting it down because, why? Because we're just not even believing in him. Then on the flip side, it says giving thanks when? Always, in the good and the bad. Because why? We're saying, God, on the path to obedience, thank you. Thank you for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the result of that? We get to see. We get to see because God, Paul gives us a glimpse into what that life means. He says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's your inheritance. That's what God's after. You know, so it's like, you know how I know how to be brought low and not complain? And I know how to be brought low and give thanks. I know how to abound, right? But you know what? I temper that. Because still, right? I know how to abound. Because my hope is in God. It's not in whatever that situation is abounding in. You got a promotion? We need to be happy. We need to celebrate and thank God. Right? But that's not licensed to, oh, and then the next one and the next one. And then your hope is drawn away. No, it's like we're saying is our hope is in God. So I know how to be brought low and not complain. And I know how to be brought low and give thanks. The question is, now, this is going to be the thing for the rest of your life. I'm still tested every day. Right? Henry, here's a situation. Here's a circumstance for you. Again, you know, it's like, God, and like, when you, as you get older, you're like, man, I know how to do this. God, I know how to be brought low. And that's just my hope for you is that that is your boast. Because you're boasting in Christ when you boast in that. Paul's not boasting of himself. He says, my hope is in God. That's how I know. All right. We're going to wrap it up, summarize with this. Our flesh cannot hope in God and will never willingly participate in obedience to God. It always has a reason why you can't. Anxiety is the feeling of predicting a future without God's help. Grumbling and quarreling is hopeless unbelief in action. Thanksgiving is choosing to hope in God's word and his promises. Learning to be thankful in all circumstances is to learn contentment. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray now you would sow your words, God, and that you just, it would be effective. And God, just we would abound in hope. Just abound in hope. That our confidence would be in you. And God, would you help us, God, in every situation, in all circumstances. God, that we would, without grumbling and with thanksgiving, God, turn to you, the perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.